So we are in the middle of this sermon series called New Year, Same Promises. And as Steve has said a couple times, the idea is not that we find certain phrases that we can use kind of like incantations, you know, and find the one promise somewhere in the Bible, and then when we say it, you know, everything works out perfectly. You know, that's not quite the idea we had in mind. What we're really looking for is to find what does God reveal about God's self in the Bible that kind of gives us the bedrock, the foundation of the whole world. Like, what is it that God is about in this world, and what are those things that we can look at and say, this is firm and true, this is what we can stand on, these are the promises that God makes, this is where God is at. And so we've gone through a bunch of different things like that, and today I'm supposed to talk about the promise of blessing. And to do that, I'm supposed to go through the Beatitudes. I heard a great 45-minute sermon on verse 3 the other day, and I've seen 4-month-long series on the Beatitudes before. But I'm going to tell you about all of them in the next 13 minutes or so. So it's going to be interesting, I think, how we get that done. But we're going to try our best anyway. So we're going to start in chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the opening words of Jesus' first teaching in the book of Matthew. You can imagine all of these crowds gathered around, and these are all people who, if you read a little bit before this, these are all people that Jesus has healed and been with, and they have come from all over the place. And even if you read carefully, not all of them are, I mean, these are people that wouldn't normally be in the same room together. There's people from the Decapolis and people from Jerusalem and Judea, which means that there's people who come from a Greek Gentile background, and there's people who come from a strong Jewish background, and they're all together, and Jesus has healed all of them. They're all in this one place, and a lot of them on this side are like, well, if I really want to be religious and good with God, I shouldn't be anywhere near this other person over here. But they're all there around God, around Jesus, and Jesus is going to tell them this sermon and let them know what's going on with what God desires for the world. And so here we are in chapter 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May the Lord grant us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Anybody a little troubled by some of these? Huh? Blessed are you when they persecute you and revile you, say all kinds of bad things about you. Blessed are you when you mourn. Is that a good thing? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? This is not an easy sermon that Jesus is giving. This is not, basically it comes down to this. If you read through the Gospels, you realize that there were a lot of people that liked what Jesus was doing, but there was a whole lot of people who didn't like what Jesus was doing. Jesus was not necessarily on a popularity campaign, you know, I'm going to do all the stuff that I can to make sure that everybody likes me. And some of these words here, to me, fit in that category a little bit. Because here's the thing that we need to know. The first four of these Beatitudes, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the reality is that they don't fit into the way that we think the world works. They're not about attitudes or behaviors that you need to attain in order to get God's blessing. They don't fit into our idea of do this and you'll get that. What they fit into is God's reality of pure grace. Just a pure gift from God. And what Jesus is trying to say in these first four is the poor in spirit. These are not people who, you know, some translations before used to say those who know that they don't have all that they need from God, or those who know that they miss something in the spiritual life. No, the poor in spirit that Jesus is talking about are the poor people who are so poor that it actually is crushing their spirit. Like, that is the people that Jesus is talking about. Those people that are out there in the crowd as he's speaking. The poor in spirit are just the people that we would be uncomfortable if they were here right now, probably. That's part of who he's talking to. He's saying those people that are outside of the way that the world works and what success looks like in the world, that doesn't matter, because those people are blessed. Those people, God's favor has come to. Those people, God stands beside and says, I am with you, even when the world is not with you. I am with you. And this is also the people, not just the materially or physically poor, but those poor spiritually, those poor psychologically, those people who feel like they don't have any stake in what God is doing. And they feel that way because the world has told them so. You don't deserve blessing. You don't deserve anything good in your life because of this, this, and this. In God's kingdom, it doesn't work that way. It's not about what you deserve or what you don't deserve. God shows up in the person of Jesus Christ and says, I'm here with you, no matter who you are and what you do. I love you. Period. I will show up. If you are brokenhearted by the way that the world treats you and looks at you, I don't care. Blessed are you. I am with you. If you are meek, powerless, you have no way to get redress for what you want. Everyone seems to be over and against you. I don't care. I am with you. Blessed are you. I am with you. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that sounds like people who want to be really bad to be holy and good, right? Kind of sounds like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, drink, smoke, or chew and go out with anyone who do or whatever, right? I mean, that sounds kind of like our way of interpreting that. But what we have to remember is that the Greek word for righteousness also means justice. And the people Jesus is talking about are those people who are crying out for the world to be put right so that it makes some sense to them. The people who get trod on, walked over, and they just can't see, how can this be the way that God wants the world to work? They cry out for God to set the world right, to make it just and good. They cry out for that. And God says, the world may not be listening to you, but here I am. Blessed are you. I bless you. I'm with you. So the first part of these, the first part of Jesus' sermon, and the thing is, we know this. We know this somewhere in the back of our minds because we are from this Protestant tradition that tells us that it's all about grace, or tries to, you know, tries to tell us every once in a while at least. We're supposed to be hearing that, but it's really hard for us. It's really hard for us. For when we hear someone is blessed, what's the first question we ask? Why? How did they get blessed? Why are they blessed? What do I have to do to get blessed? What's the formula, right? If I do this and this, then I'll get blessed, right? What Jesus says in these first four Beatitudes is, it doesn't work like that. I show up with God's blessing. I come with God's blessing, and I'm not necessarily interested in any of the categories, in any of the ways that you establish things, because I just show up. Pure grace, pure gift, that is the promise of God's blessing, without any account for how the world structures things or anything like that. So, I can't believe that's really the time. That didn't feel like a lot of minutes to me. anyway, I brought it up here to look at, I guess, but it was too late. So, I just want to end with this image. All right. So this is a pot that's supposed to grow basil at some point, right? So here's what I imagine that the way that we normally operate in this world. This stuff inside of here is all of the foundation, the good stuff from God that we need to grow right. And here's what we normally do. This is how we live our life. We try to put the stuff in like this. We try to do the good stuff, make things work out, you know, and we try to fill it up and hope that we can stick the seed in there at some point and it's going to grow. You know, but what Jesus is saying in this is that the blessing, the goodness, the love, the mercy, all of that stuff, it's already there. It's the foundation upon which you're supposed to live your life. It's already moving around you. It is what the world, it's how the world is made. God loves you. No matter who you are, what you've been through, whatever it is, God shows up and says, I am with you. There's a whole bunch of other preaching that I would like to do in the future sometime about what that means and how we're supposed to live our life based on that. But I'm going to leave you with that, and maybe you read the rest of it and draw your own conclusions, okay? Let us pray. Loving God, help us to turn our world, our way of thinking, upside down. Help us to understand that your love, your forgiveness, your compassion, your mercy, all of your goodness is just waiting there for us. You have come in the person of Jesus Christ. You have made the way clear for us to embrace you, to become your children, to be adopted by you. You love us. Help us to turn and embrace you. Help us to plant ourselves in that love and in that mercy and become the people that you desire us to be. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.